Good morning. Welcome to our Tuesday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. Talking and praying this week about time and what God says it's time for, what we ought to do with our time, how to make the most of our time. And today we're going to focus in on time to worship. And looking at a verse, Jesus was teaching, or actually in conversation with a individual. And in John 4, verse 23, says, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." If the verse sounds familiar, and if it doesn't, it's a interaction, a part of an interaction Jesus had with the woman at the well, a Samaritan woman that was a bit surprised that Jesus would even speak to her, let alone carry on any sort of dialogue. It was just unheard of, deemed inappropriate for a man to address a woman that he was not married to, but especially a Samaritan woman, Samaritan at all for a Jewish man. And yet here's Jesus having this conversation. And in the midst of the conversation, there's, well, an uncomfortable moment or two. Jesus reveals his knowledge, his awareness about her life. And there are those that believe that the woman tried to, well, change the subject. But there are also those who think that the woman recognized, because of what Jesus knew, that this was no ordinary man. And the question that she asks is one that was of great importance to her. She was a bit confused because the Jews worshiped it in one location and said that was the only appropriate place, and the Samaritans worshiped God at another location and felt that that was the appropriate place. And her real question was, who's right? That sound familiar? We kind of have a tendency in life to do things our way, and even in our interactions with God, we do things the way we've been taught, we do things the way that we understand, we do things the way that we like to do them. And because we do them, we kind of consider that we're right. And those that do it differently than what we do must be wrong. Now, sometimes that's the case if God's word is truly the foundation and rationale and direction for what we're doing. That kind of does make it right. But there are a lot of things that God has given us freedom in that we try to make law. And at this point, there was this division. Now, there was division for a lot of reasons. It wasn't only this location of worship discussion. But the woman wants to know, in essence, is my worship meaningful to God? Am I worshiping God in a way that's acceptable? And perhaps trying to justify her people and the way that things were being done, but at the heart of it, it was a thirst for knowledge, I believe. And so Jesus gives the answer that we read. In essence, well, the Jews worship what they know. They worship what they've been taught. They worship a God that has called them to himself. The Samaritans, well, they're not fully informed. But he doesn't leave it there. He doesn't pick sides, and he says, in matter of fact, the time is coming. It is, in fact, has now come when true worship takes place in spirit and truth. True worship isn't dependent on a location. And I know there are those that will take this and say, see, I don't have to come to church. No, you don't. You might want to spend time with God and His Word and prayer, evaluating what's wrong that you don't want to. But you can worship God everywhere. As a matter of fact, you ought to be worshiping God everywhere. You see, if worship is something delegated to a church building or a church service, then we're falling into the same trap. Where's the right place to worship? Is it in a church gathering, or is it at the lake? And we set up a false test. Because Jesus would say the true worshipers worship in spirit and truth. They worship from the heart. They worship continually because God is with them. And the Bible gives multitudes of reasons and instructions that we ought to gather together. And worship is one of those reasons. We gather to worship God, to encourage one another. We gather for the benefit of the kingdom. We gather in order to be convicted, be corrected, to be challenged by God's word. We gather to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And God has called us to not forsake the coming together of ourselves as the body of Christ. But that doesn't excuse us from not worshiping God each day that we live. You see, now is the time to worship, whatever now is. It's kind of like when Jesus talks about today is the day of salvation. Well, whatever you get up, whenever you live, right now is today. And while you think of 24 hours of now, from now being tomorrow, when you get there, it will be today. And that's true of now is the time to worship. And now also is the time to worship. And on it goes. And rather than getting caught up in, am I doing it right, the bigger question is, am I worshiping God? Because as we worship God, He understands our heart, and He molds our heart, and He corrects our heart, and He helps us in our weaknesses to be purified. See, when we begin to judge the worship of someone else, it's nearly impossible to actually be worshiping God ourselves. We've been distracted. We've been willing to allow the enemy to set aside our worship so that we can complain, so that we can grumble, so that we can judge someone else. You see, now is the time to worship. And as we worship God throughout the day, it ought to change the way we view the people we interact with. Because our view of them flows through our worship of God. They may be doing something wrong, just as we do things wrong. And when we begin to see their wrong in the way that God sees our wrong, it helps us to treat them in the way that we want to be treated. And a life of worship helps us to do that. Love the song that now, come, now is the time to worship. And it's a song that ought to be playing in our mind 24/7. At the very least, every waking hour that we have, to recognize as a time to worship. It's simply in attributing to God what He is worth to us. And sometimes we may struggle with worship because we've not become convinced fully of how much God is worth to us. Sometimes we think we're pretty good people. God's nice to have around just in case. God's nice to include in our thoughts and prayers because, well, we might need that blood of Jesus to cover something. We begin to think so highly of ourselves that we lose track of just how much God is really worth. But when we begin to see ourselves honestly as completely undeserving of relationship with God and yet desired by God to have that relationship, we realize just how much He's worth and how lost we are without Him. You see, now is the time to worship. Now is the time to change our hearts and our minds so that our worship of God really is in spirit and truth. It's carried along by God's Spirit that dwells within us. It's carried to His throne by the truth of Jesus. And so we worship God. And we proclaim with our words, we proclaim with our life, that He indeed is worthy. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank You that You are a God that loves us. Your love has called us to Yourself. It has given us the awareness that we need to consider You worthy. Father, forgive us for those times where we set up challenges, division that are completely unnatural, where we try to confine worship to a time or a place, or we try to use the freedom that we have to worship to excuse our absence from other instructions that You've given us. And Father, as we begin to see whatever now is, that every now in our life is a time to worship, may it change the way we live life. May it change the way we view others. May it change the way we interact with one another. May our attributing to You just how much You're worth help us to see how much we are worth to You, even in our unworthy state. Even while we were still dead in our sins, You sent Jesus to die so that those sins could be paid for. And Father, as we worship You because of that, as we worship You because of Your goodness, as we worship You because of who You are, may we recognize the differences that we have one another aren't nearly as great as the difference that existed between us and You. And may we cry out, holy, holy, holy are You, Lord God Almighty. And may that declaration and awareness of your holiness help us to worship with our life. That our actions and our attitudes express not only to you but to the world how worthy you are and how much we value being called into relationship with you. Father, wherever we are, may we worship you. May we not use the freedom of worship and the constant worship that you call us to as an excuse to neglect the assembling together of ourselves with others. But may it be lived in such a way that our coming together is more powerful, more alive with worship, because it's continued expression of what we've been doing all week. So God, today, may we worship you. May we worship you at work. May we worship you at school. May we worship you in our home, in our neighborhood, in the marketplace. May we worship you as we drive and as we interact with people that are grieving, people that are hurt, people that are overwhelmed. And may our light shine brightly into the darkness of this world, because it's a light that is fueled by our worship. So God, today, as we declare you worthy, may we lift up Jesus in all things so that many would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Tuesday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.